Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome to Podcast 2187. This is episode 83, and this is the second to last episode before The Last Jedi is in theaters, because we are 10 days away from that. It's actually 10 days right now if you count the premiere, but 10 days if you're listening to this the day it's released, because that'll be the 5th, and I just did way too much math in my head, but you get the point. Jared and Mark, I'm going to start with you two. How are you doing?
Why do you sound confused when you said my name?
I sounded confused.
You sound like Jared and Mark?
Yeah, what's his name again?
That other guy.
We were just talking about being bad with names right before you started before, and now Tim's caught it.
He's Jared and contagious. Co. No, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Are you sure?
No, I don't know. We're not going to spend hours talking
you
about it.
You were a little spicy on Twitter earlier, so I don't know what's going to come from that.
You know, because honestly, let's send questions to Podcast 2187 about Tim and his Battlefront playing. it ranks up there with Porgs for me right now.
I've achieved Porg level. I hate this, actually.
And I was very, very happy to see John Boyega tweet out today that he hates Porgs as well. So,
And he said Oscar is in line with him, too.
Yep. So what else do you need to know? I'm in good company.
Those guys are pretty rad. I mean, this is our first insider Porg information, and it confirms, I guess, your suspicions this whole time. None of us can really know. We don't, as Andrea is always quick to point out, our absent nursing co-host, we don't really know them yet. People have been jumping the gun without knowing anything about them. So
I also wanted to throw in, I kind of mentioned this on Twitter, that we have someone I consider to be a very special guest tonight. And I'm going to let her talk now, but her name is Kristen. She is my sister. Say hi.
Hi, I'm Kristen. I'm Tim's sister.
And Tim let you talk. It was so wonderful.
Yeah, and apparently
I was gracious.
With a very specific script.
Yeah. Tim is wonderful. He is the best brother I could have ever had.
Okay, she's making me sound bad via you guys.
No. I don't even have to talk.
Yeah.
Wait.
The situation presents itself.
Say talk again.
Talk?
I hear it.
The first time it wasn't as evident, but it is similar.
I think this is a... I don't know if this is a... the Tim family accent, since nobody knows your last names or what it is, but intriguing.
You're saying I sound like Tim?
I'm saying you guys, like my dad, right? My dad and his father, they don't say Wash, they say Warsh.
Oh, yeah.
So it even became Washington, like the state of Washington.
Oh, yeah. No, I know a lot of people who...
Right.
I hear Washington, like D.C. a lot.
And so it's one of those things to where I never adopted that, you know, accent or that way of speaking. But my dad has it. My grandpa had it. And you too. And I don't know if it's a regional thing. Like if I went and asked your next door neighbors to speak, if it would be the same thing.
Well, and I also don't think that there's, like, it's not a bad thing to have that in common.
Yeah.
I didn't really ever think I sounded like my brothers. I always thought it was just people who knew us who said that and thought that, and like, they're, oh, it's crazy, it's in their head. And then, but at one point when I was maybe a junior or a sophomore in college, I just finished a class I had with a bunch of friends, and we were talking about, I think it was like a midterm test. We were talking about how we did on it, and somebody from down the hall was like, Andrew, and walked up to me, and it was a girl who was the sister of my brother's ex-girlfriend's best friend. Like she had met my brother one time and heard my voice and thought it was his. And I'm like, all right, I guess we sound the same. Like, you know, between genetics and being raised by the same people in the same area, sounding similar isn't crazy or bad.
And you guys definitely do not sound similar. So let's just get that right out of the way. I think I know who I'm going to be talking to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I meant just having you know, things in common. Definitely not sounding like the same. Similar does not mean the same, Mark.
Okay.
So.
All right, Mr. Rogers. Thanks.
Okay.
There you go.
Are you done?
Yeah. Put your sister back on. Where were you? Can she host it this time?
Why don't you host it?
No. I'm not hosting it again. That's bad.
I don't know. I thought it went pretty well.
I just love the huge change of tone on your part, Mark, in the course of that episode, where you're like, who knows? We'll do it again if you guys want me to. And then at the end, you're like, never again.
No.
Tim's a good host. Like you said, he's a born host.
It was one of those things, like when Tim and I were doing Score Tracks, and I would host that, and I had everything written down, like the beginning intros and all that, and it was like, it's very, very particular. I want to make sure I get to everybody. And it's just a different.
You were good.
I have no problem with that format for some reason, because it's a little bit more, it's not to say stodgy, but it's a little bit more, it's less freewheeling. How's that? This one is, you know, we try and make your life difficult, I think.
Do you forget
stream
that?
Of consciousness.
Do you not look at the detailed 20-page notes I send every week to your email?
I do, and I just put it in that little recycle bin, you know, because I figure you might as well not learn to fly, just jump out of a plane.
Well, then I will stop sending them to you.
I don't have the time to translate all that Orbesh every time. I know you have the time to type it up because you don't have to translate it because you know it. But
if you actually looked at them, you would see that I hand wrote them and scanned them into a doc and emailed the doc. Come on.
Takes too long, Tim.
Anyway, we have stuff to be discussing and questions and a...
Can we start with...
The email?
Getting to know you. Not you.
No.
We know enough about Tim that he'll tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to know what's your favorite Star Wars film? What's your favorite Star Wars memory? What type of music
the basics.
Do you like? Just a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
Jeez.
Well, favorite Star Wars movie is Empire because it's the best.
Oh, all right.
Wrong.
Who said wrong?
It was Tim.
Was it? I don't know.
Yes, it was definitely Tim.
Okay, why is but it your growing favorite? Up, well, because it's the most, I don't know, it draws my attention the best in the music. I like the entire soundtrack. It is like one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. So everything about it is just completely engaging for me.
You're winning so far.
I like it the best. And when I was little, it was my least favorite because I always thought Dagobah was really boring. But then as I matured, I realized it's one of the best parts of the entire series. So awesome. Yes, that one is my favorite. And favorite Star Wars memory? Well, when Timmy said a few weeks ago...
Timmy? Oh, yes. No, sorry to interrupt you for a moment, but... Take note of that because Timmy is not going to go any like that's making a comeback.
Yep. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark and I both enjoyed that.
No, it's a good thing that we can make eye contact right now.
So when Tim mentioned a few weeks ago that one of his favorite Star Wars memories was sitting in line for The Force Awakens, I was with him and that was kind of epic. I mean, it was all day. I got off work. I have an amazing coworker who switched shifts with me and then took on an extra shift to cover that I was in line for Star Wars. And we just sat around and nerded out all day. And it was pretty amazing for those of us who have not gone to Celebration or anything like that. It was good.
Are you two going to be seeing Last Jedi the same way together?
Well, the first, I have to go to the later premiere showing because I have a job commitment that I cannot back out of. So Tim is going to see it and then he's going to leave the theater and come see it again with me.
It's called a facepalm.
Timmy's so sweet in that way that he's going to watch it twice.
I muted myself.
Did I mention she's my older sister? Does that make a difference?
You have mentioned that in the past, Tim. I just wanted to say briefly, I muted myself when I was laughing just there because I don't want you to feel badly. But I am the youngest of three. I have two older brothers. I have been physically and emotionally humiliated my entire life by them. So it's okay, Tim, but you're not alone. And no, I've never had any nickname ever. Everyone's always just called me Jared when I was a kid in school.
Mark has called you Jay Bear. I've heard that myself.
Well, I'll take it. But when I was in school, teachers would always ask if I was wanted to be called JJ, and it upset me so much. My reaction was whatever the like 5-year-old reaction of like the F you say to me. Like I was so offended at just the notion of it. And as I got older, I noticed every name with a J they ask, there's nothing else that they assume. Like JR, JB, BJ, CJ, everybody, everything with a J, they ask you, hey, do you want to be called JJ or whatever? And nothing else do they make that assumption. And it was always offended me.
But Jared Binks.
I'll take it. I'm okay with that one.
I'm not going to say that one again, actually.
you're the youngest, Tim. There's no shame in that. Timmy.
You know, Timmy!
Hey, there's someone at work who calls me that the same way for the same reason. I know what you mean.
South Park is extremely popular.
I'm saying like your version right there was like an exact, like it sounded the same, except the person I'm referencing is a female. But you're like,
I know what you mean. I've downloaded that into my databanks. I am familiar with that show.
Oh, no, you're not on this whole robot thing, too. You were my holdout.
Ah, sorry, I'm not. Never mind, I was just joking.
but we do, believe it or not, have a couple things about Star Wars that... I got a little notification thing. That was weird. About
you
Star Wars.
You mentioned a couple, and there was also a big one that I think happened maybe right after we recorded, or soon after we recorded last week, that you didn't mention about... Daisy Ridley saying something interesting.
Oh, and then was it today or yesterday she clarified that?
Oh, probably, and I missed that.
Yeah. Originally she was quoted in Rolling Stone, I believe, saying something that people took to mean she is done playing Rey after episode 9. Like episode 9 is finished filming, and then like Rey is done for Daisy Ridley. But I just saw like today or yesterday sometime. She clarified. She basically said that she was really tired and like didn't properly express what she wanted to say, and that basically she meant when I said that I was thinking that currently, as things stand with contracts, I am done as of episode 9. But that didn't mean that she will refuse to play her again in the future if they want to.
That pretty much means she's done.
What? Oh, pretty much means she's done. I mean, I don't know. Like,
in my opinion,
or it was a really smart negotiating tactic. Like,
yeah, it could be.
Like, because that puts a fire on them to hold to get her back if fans want her. You know,
right?
And kind of makes it seem like they have more work to do. But I think you're probably right because, like we've talked about before, and like Tim, you were saying, you know, not everyone wants to do it forever. Not like you were using Chris Hemsworth talking about Thor, although he's interesting because he's said he's unlike Evans and Robert Downey Jr., whose remaining number of pictures are undisclosed at this point. I think they went on past their initial contracts, but they didn't sign big, giant multi-picture deals. Like I said, it's going to be a smaller number of films that they're in from now on. But I think Hemsworth has even said since that initial interview where he was talking about getting bored with it, like he's in it for the long haul. Like he'll be Thor as long as they want him to. It's like, not everybody feels the same way necessarily. And, you know, if they'll give you money or listen to your concerns, like he wanted them to change things up with Thor and they went in a pretty different direction, I think to the benefit of the franchise. Like you said, it's your favorite of the three. And I just think it was really well done. Like Taika Waititi does a really good job, but
yeah,
who knows? Like maybe they'll do a Rey, like literally a Rey standalone movie. Like who knows where they're going to go after this? Cause it is funny that that came right on the heels of Kathleen Kennedy saying they weren't done with Ray Poe and Finn's story.
Like all
this stuff coming out at once is really kind of funny.
Didn't we kind of just have a Ray standalone story?
I mean, Yeah.
Really? I mean, and we're going to get two more?
Well, I just mean after this, if it's just something that is just a one-off tale about her. Who knows? We don't know.
I mean, it's so hard to say since we're not even at the halfway point of her character arc in this trilogy. You know? So
what, give it a week and a couple days? And...
Yeah. Or whatever. Pretty much. But no, you're right, though. That did happen initially last week, and then more recently that was updated. But more recently than last week was... did we talk about the EW stuff last time? I think we did, didn't we?
Not sure. Which one?
Just... I mean, I don't remember specifically. I just remember there were new articles and pictures.
I think we talked about the most recent one really briefly. Yeah.
Because, I mean, there wasn't obviously a ton to come from that, but I thought we got the gist. Another thing, I actually meant to say this at the beginning, and I forgot. I wanted to, as Jerry put it, send a congratulations for the network premiere for some people on the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. If you're watching the Jimmy Kimmel Star Wars special, you might have seen a couple familiar faces. The front and center, of course, being Steel from Steel Wars. But other people I saw making Star Wars shirt on Jason, too. And I was surprised that Jimmy Kimmel actually like specifically put attention on him. That was pretty cool on Steel.
It was. It was really cool. And also a recent guest of Steel's show and friend of the podcast network, Laura, was in a really awesome Rose cosplay. And they took note and commented on that as well. And then she even engaged with Rian Johnson about it on social media after.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty rad. I think they had maybe an amazing, like one-of-a-kind night for three people who already have had some pretty – spectacular Star Wars personal experiences.
Yeah, and it was funny because I didn't watch it live. Somehow I didn't hear about it though until I saw a clip of it online, and so I'm just kind of watching it. And I'm like, and they started talking about Snoke, and they were saying about his theories, and I'm like, oh hey, that's like Steel. And then they showed him, and I'm like, am I imagining this because I'm thinking about him, or is that actually him? And I saw Jay and all that. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. I want to give a quick congratulations for the network premiere for those awesome people on ABC. Now that I said that, what other Star Wars? I just told you guys what we're going to discuss. I don't even remember. There's the featurette, which I actually didn't see yet. The fighting training thing. I was planning on watching that. I just didn't. See, I've seen a couple pictures. Have any of you guys seen that yet?
No. Some of the pictures?
No, the featurette of the training stuff. That,
no, I'm not watching that stuff. Mm-mm. It's too close.
I'm not seeking it out right now. If somebody shares it with me, I'll check it out. But
what are you eating, Jared?
Hold on a second.
You sound like you're eating soup. I feel like you have soup in your mouth.
Wasn't soup. Yeah, it was.
Was it something liquidy?
No.
It was what?
No, it was Chinese food.
Oh, was it like noodles?
No.
Damn.
No, it was orange chicken.
Rice?
No, it was orange chicken. I had noodles before. But
you should have said orange chicken. That's probably the best. That's probably the best guess if anyone ever says Chinese food. That or barbecue pork.
Yeah.
I mean noodles are easy. A good guess too, though.
That's true. Oh. I usually have chow mein as well.
So, Jared, what else do you want to tell us about your dietary habits?
Well, I've talked about before, I think, on the show and online that I was a vegetarian for 19 years. So,
there you go. Chicken.
Yeah. No. Because I became a vegetarian as a kid, there's all this food I've never tried. So I've like wanted to try a bunch of stuff that I hadn't. And then there are things like Chinese food and whatnot that I loved as a kid my whole life that I enjoy eating again, like that, and different kinds of Mexican food. Although Mexican food is always nice because you could always get stuff without meat, with substitute with beans pretty easily. So
where's Kristen at? We need to hear her opinion on Wegmans.
Food? Oh,
on Wegmans. Yeah. Yes. We have an outside Wegmans opinion. Someone who we don't know whether or not.
All right.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. That's exclamation.
I think Mark's immediately regretting this.
No, I've been to Wegmans, but it had been like years and years. And when y'all started your Wegman things, I'm like, oh yeah, it's an awesome store. I went, Tim, what was it, like June? Maybe. When I went back again? It was a life-changing experience.
Are you kidding?
No, I am not even kidding. Like, it's where I legitimately, that would be a perfect date to just go to Wegmans.
You mean like you take someone out to Wegmans?
Yes. You want to get to know someone better, take them to Wegmans.
Tim, why? Do we need to fix Kristen up with Andrea? it sounds to me like they're a perfect match, like based on that alone.
So, like, I know you guys won't fully understand until you get to have this experience yourself, but that actually kind of makes sense. You can, like, pick out your dinner and have it cooked as you want, and then while they're doing that, you can entertain yourself with the latest types of quinoa, and then
go. Okay, listen, Tammy. Would you take a date to Wegmans, a first date, Tim?
I would not.
Okay, not? I didn't say first date. I just said date.
Oh, well, I consider it, yeah, well, all right. Well, come on. No, you can't qualify that
well,
way now.
No, I've heard that some of them actually do have show movies in the upstairs, I think. I'm pretty sure I've heard that.
The hell kind of place is this?
It's life.
It's amazing. Like, no. It is life changing. Go find a Wegmans. Make a special trip to go see a Wegmans.
Yeah,
I feel
bad.
You have to go East Coast.
I feel bad because I when I come out to visit, it's not going to be to see Andrea or Tim. It's going to be to see Wegmans, and it's like it makes me feel kind of like a jerk.
Well, depending on which Wegmans you go to, I might already be there, and Andrea might too. So there you go.
Big welcoming party, and like Stu Wegman and like Fred Wegman will be outside.
His name is Danny.
Welcome. Danny Wegman. Come on.
I know this.
But like, it kind of works because one of them that I've been to has this whole big parking garage thing. So you really could have like a little paparazzi party, documenting your first trip to Wegmans.
Is there a Wegmans near the movie theater?
Which one? Like the one we're going to see Last Jedi? In?
Or any movie theater. I mean, that might be a great night.
There's a movie theater in Wegmans.
Is there gonna are they gonna play The Last Jedi?
I don't know. I don't maybe check. I go there for food. I don't go there for movies.
Mark's trying to plan a date for you, Tim.
I
am.
I
mean, just, I don't
if
know.
You just give me the name of some of the ladies you might be interested in, then maybe I could try and play matchmaker.
No, Tim, Mark and I are gonna make this happen.
Are you going to be paying for it too as long as you're at it?
No, God, yeah, no,
certainly not.
Okay.
that's where our help ends.
I want to
I've got a good track record. I fixed up two friends in high school that are still together, and that's a long time because I'm old.
Jared, can you imagine me and you and Tim in Fiddler on the Roof?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the sad part. We can.
Matchmaker, make me a match. We can be dancing around, fine. Tim.
Catch me a catch. I got it, man.
Yep, we're in it. Tim? Timmy?
Yeah.
Were there hitting your sister yet or not?
No, the worst it's gotten is a... Not quite a stink guy, just more of a
death glare.
It was not. I can give you a death glare. That was not a death glare.
We've seen Short Circuit too. We know what it's like when he's reprogrammed and he's evil. I know what the mean robot eyes look like.
Do I have to get like a little mohawk thing now too because of that?
Yeah, and a mirror versus Star Trek goatee. You gotta have a
oh hey, I know this isn't what we're supposed to be discussing, but I just saw not that long before we started the Deadline exclusive about Star Trek. Did either of you see that?
Oh, what was it?
Okay, my mind is blown. Apparently for the next Star Trek movie, JJ might produce it, and he's going to gather a writing team to write the story, but the person who pitched the story and will direct it, Quentin Tarantino.
Wait, I heard that rumor. Is that official?
Yeah.
It's a Deadline exclusive report today.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
I just saw it before we started.
I mean, I'm down.
I'm in for it, but
I'm very skeptical.
The next one is supposed to have Chris Hemsworth back. I had heard.
Where it would be a prequel to it would be in the JJ universe, but a prequel?
Yeah, it was going to be like a time travel thing.
Oh, interesting.
Huh? That's what they had said, but Quentin Tarantino doing it. The lackluster box office of Star Trek Beyond might necessitate a Quentin Tarantino.
And I really like the show right now. Discovery's been really good.
I'm not watching it until I can stream it all.
And you should be pretty close. I think they went just about halfway through the season, and they'll be back, I believe, in January. And then they'll finish out the rest of the season.
So are you still paying monthly for a show that's not on?
No. I canceled that, and we'll resume it.
I'm trying to pull up the article now so I can
I'm a monster that way, I guess.
So essentially, Jared, how much is it a month?
Oh, God, I don't even remember. That one, I think it's less... Is it less than HBO? Is it 10 or 15? Because HBO is 15, I think.
You're spending $10 a month to watch one show?
I just really wanted to see it, man. I held off, and I actually didn't spend it the whole time because I didn't start it the week of. Well, I watched it with a friend the first week, but then the rest of it I kind of caught up later on. So I've been doing that like with Stars. What do you call it? Which one was it? I did that with. Oh no! Not with Stars. With Showtime. With the new Twin Peaks. I went ahead and I figured out where I would have when the 2 weeks would end for the free trial.
let me ask you a question. How many episodes is this
of Discovery so far? 8, I believe.
Okay, and how many are there going to be in the total season?
Okay, all access. It's only 6 because I can do it with the commercials. It's $9.99. It's 10 a month. Without commercials and 6 with.
You spend about $24 on a show. You could probably own that show when it comes out on Blu-ray or DVD for that price.
No, or on iTunes, which is what I usually end up doing, because then you get it as it comes out if you want it, or you can get it all in the end, and it's at most $30. It's between 19 and 30 usually.
And
it's really not that bad.
No, it's not. Yeah, I didn't ever.
Oh, so. Yeah, well, and then CBS, there's other stuff. Like, I get caught up with Elementary, which is the one CBS show I watched before that, which, although I know most shows on CBS are made for an age demographic past mine, I do like Elementary. I always like Sherlock Holmes stuff, and Lucy Liu's awesome, and that dude is obnoxious, but I like him as well. I've liked him since, Hackers?
since he was with Angelina Jolie?
That's right. Is it Johnny Lee Miller? Is that his name?
Yeah. Transpotting.
Yeah. Oh, he's a good actor. I really liked his show with the guys who created Arrow and Supergirl, and all that stuff in The Flash, Guggenheim and Berlanti. He did a show that was about a guy who had the power to talk to God. Like, he was like a modern day prophet, and it was called Eli Stone, and it was had like musical elements, like, because he had visions, and it was really bizarre, but it was good. He was the lead in it, and the way he saw his visions in the first season, like the first half of the first season, they all sit around the musician George Michael, and he was actually in it. Like, he made appearances in the show. It was pretty awesome. he would just
that's like a strange show.
Oh, it was super weird. He was like he was a lawyer, and it was like very much like parables from the Bible, where it's like prophets were guys who were, you know, tax collectors or guys who worked for the Romans or whatever, who were like kind of jerks who were tools of an oppressive system. And so he was a jerky corporate lawyer who was like screwing people over, and he ended up just wanting to help people and do stuff pro bono because he's having these visions from God telling him to. It was really interesting, and like there's another show that's sort of like it on right now. I find it interesting when network shows try and hit those religious notes, because they don't want to offend people who aren't into it, but they want to attract a different kind of audience, I think, than the mainstream shows attract. They never really are willing to go all in or not, and it's interesting to see how they're handled. They usually play them for comedy, I find.
Kristen, what's your favorite show on television right now? Do you watch TV? Do you not watch TV?
I don't really watch TV.
All right.
I used to, and then I just got too busy, and I have Netflix, so why bother?
So what's your favorite? What are you watching right now? Anything exciting? Besides Tim?
No.
That is pretty exciting.
No, I haven't watched Stranger Things 2 yet. I'm like really behind on my entertainment.
Okay. I don't know why Stranger. I barely even watched Stranger Things 1, so I don't even understand what's wrong with me, but I'm just not into it.
Meh, I don't think there's anything wrong with you, man.
I can understand
if it's like not your thing. I super loved it, but if you don't like it, I don't hold it against you. Like, if you don't like Star Wars, that friendship is over. But if you don't like Stranger Things, I'll forgive.
But it should be my thing because it's like 80s. I'm a child of the 80s. It's got a synth score, which I actually like.
I get why you want to like it. Like, other people I know want to like it because their friends do, but you do because it should. It should be for you. Like, it's a love letter to all the things that you and I have in common that we love.
Yes.
But I don't think that's why I like it. Like, I know some people think people like it because of nostalgia, but I genuinely enjoy the performances and the characters and everything. I will give you this much. I feel like I it's not a criticism, it's just an observation, but that doesn't really offer anything new. I love it. I'm a huge fan of it. But it's all repackaging stuff that we're familiar with. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I love superhero comics, and they literally just repackage the same, like, first 25 years of that stuff over and over and over again and have for almost 100 years now. So it's silly, but – and it's fine. And they're all, like, repeated themes and myths. And, I mean, that's the whole idea, you know, the whole connection with the Joseph Campbell stuff with Star Wars. It's all repeated stories over and over again. So it's not a criticism, but – I can see why maybe that could contribute to it not having any appeal to you, just because it's like you've seen all that before when it originally came out. So I don't know. Possible. It doesn't even have its own voice. It's like, there were people who I thought were like maybe the stupidest Redditors I've ever seen, like, other than the guys who just want to take Jason down for some reason, because those guys are pathetic. it makes no sense to me.
It is genuinely sad at times.
It is. But there were these theories that, like, the Duffer brothers are actually Spielberg and somebody else, like, in disguise and blah, blah. I'm like, you guys are idiots. like, they just like those movies. Like, it's clearly not a Spielberg-directed thing. Like, it's fine. Like, just shut up.
But I think – I don't even know if I mentioned this online or not, but when I went and saw John Carpenter live in concert, there's a part where, you know, he plays music from The Thing.
Yeah.
And this girl next to me is like, oh, that's that movie from Stranger Things. And I wanted to
the
crap out of her. And it's just like, why are you even here? You do not belong here. If your point of reference is that this stuff was in Stranger Things, then I'm sorry. I'm going to be a gatekeeper. Get out.
I think you're gatekeeping, Mark.
I don't care if I'm gatekeeping. That's not your point of reference. Your point of reference should not be like,
That almost would be like if you're watching Civil War, and when Spider-Man references that movie with the big walker things, they're like, oh yeah, that was that space movie, right? It's like, no,
right?
That doesn't count.
When people haven't seen Star Wars, it's not even shocking.
Offensive. I don't even think it'd be as offensive. I can't even think of a point of reference. if you're paying money to go to a live concert, you know, you should be, I would think, somewhat familiar with the band that you're seeing or the artist that you're seeing.
Oh, maybe that's the first date.
That could be. Okay, you know what? Instead of Wegmans, they went there. I'll give them that.
I don't know. I think Wegmans might have. Well, no, it might not have been better. I don't know.
Than the John Carpenter live.
I know, that's why. I'm like,
why would you even say that other than to hurt Mark?
Yeah, I'm like, I might not want to make that statement. I don't know. You know what though? We do have a few different questions and a dream log number 3 that we have submitted. And
let's get,
It's a little early to get to those, but I feel like we have time to, because like, there are a few. So I can just start with the first question. It's from Rob. I'm our Twitter correspondent today, by the way.
Oh, and I've kept being distracted by talking about non-show stuff. But is this from on Twitter or from a direct message from Rob? But do you know by any chance, Tim? Or
it's a tweet on Twitter.
He had mentioned that we, because I know for me, I've not been getting alerts from Twitter or from a bunch of stuff on my phone lately, which is usually how I use Twitter, but not for text or either of the accounts I use on Twitter. And he had mentioned that he was trying to send stuff in for a little while, and we didn't seem to be getting them. So I just thought I would mention that before I forgot again, because I think it's been, he mentioned it right before last week's episode. I didn't want to forget 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing that now. Yeah, because I'm not getting the alerts, because whenever I log in, usually someone else. I don't know if it's been like, you know, I don't know, but
no, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, sometimes I get them anyway when someone else is logged in. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah, but
I haven't had access to the account for about a month now, so I keep forgetting to ask you for the password. I'm gonna blame Andrea.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's not here tonight, so why not?
Seems she turned off notifications, probably.
That's possible. No, you're right. I do see that now, though, too. Let's do that first, because it was submitted first.
All right, we got extra stuff from Rob.
Yeah.
Bonus Rob questions.
Let's see. It looks like, let me see here. Okay, yeah, he says, hey, guys, hope you are all getting super excited for The Last Jedi. I know I am. What is the main thing you hope happens in the film? There are so much possibilities, and this is making The Last Jedi so exciting. Safe to say most fans want to know who Snoke is or Rey's parentage, and just know how awesome Luke is going to be. For me, I really hope we find out how Leia will be handled. Carrie Fisher is such a loss for so many, and I think it's starting to hit home that it really is going to be tough to say bye when we see her for the last time on the big screen.
Good question.
Yeah. My answer, like,
can I chime in first and say, like, on a half serious note, I super hope like someone like kills a whole bunch of porgs or something.
Thank you.
I want to see, aside from, like he said about Leia. I'm really intrigued about that. And I want just, like, it's hard to pick out one specific thing, but as for something that's not too serious, I really hope a bunch of porgs die.
Wow. See, if Tim hadn't mentioned to me before that you legitimately didn't like porgs, I would assume, based on this and the Empire Strikes Back answer and the way you elaborated, that you were just trying to win Mark over and become his favorite and replace all of us and Andrea. Like, he's just going to be like, nah, you guys can all leave.
She did it already. It didn't.
I know, dude. It didn't. None of us are even pro porg. We're just like not quite calling for their mass murder.
Well, hey, as long as she doesn't say that Boba Fett is her absolute favorite character, then there's something different.
Look, Boba Fett's not my absolute favorite character, but if she appreciates Boba, then, you know.
Well, I appreciate Boba significantly.
And, I mean.
And I don't like porgs.
I mean, there's a lot here. There's a lot to win us over.
I mean, to get to the question, I feel like the thing I'm looking forward to the most is how they handle Carrie, because I'm really intrigued by what he said. That being, they're not going to change anything about the final movie. And yet, at the same time, it's appropriate. I'm really curious what that is and how that works so well when it was written that way before they knew she wouldn't be back for 9. So I'm really interested to see how that works out.
I mean, I have enough faith in Kathleen Kennedy and JJ and Ryan, who are responsible for this closing of her chapter, the way it's going to be handled between this and episode 9. But I have this deep, like, underlying fear of something along the lines of when Poochie leaves in The Simpsons, And I don't know if you guys remember, but it's like very half-assed. Yeah. And it, like it's done so quickly. They just make the animations. They make one cell just like visibly move up the screen, like and with a, like a slide whistle sound effect. Like, whoop, and it says like, and it has like a handwritten note that says like with the wrong voice, with the voice of the guy who is like the runner of the. Of the whole company, like the executive, the CEO of Itchy and Scratchy Animation or whatever, saying, you know, I return to my home planet now, you know, and then saying that he died on the way to his home planet, like an epilogue. And it's like, and
you know, I feel like it honestly, Jared, feels like that's what the last season of House of Cards is going to be.
Yeah.
Where they just have to rush, like sweep it all under the rug.
Yeah. Oh, look, he died. And then they rolled the credits.
Who'd have thunk it?
Because they finally said that it's going to be less episodes the final season, and they're finishing it without him, and it's just going to be like this rush of. But what's the point even?
Did you guys hear Frank's head exploded because he's such a jerk? Like,
I kind of that would be entertaining though if they did that. That was like a line. You know, like,
or just have his head be in a box.
Oh,
is why. What's in the box?
I even wouldn't. Honestly, I wouldn't mind because of like you know, you guys know my feelings about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right. I was thinking that too.
That would be great.
I was saying as a guest star because let's face it. I mean, I'm not going to be on her side on much, but she spoke out about the Weinstein stuff and about people like specifically giving her a hard time. It's like, so if for anyone who's had to suffer this kind of crap at all, it'd be great. Mostly, I can't believe all the people complaining to Anthony Rapp, like that he's ruined the last season and all this and that. And like I've been seeing more and more of like there's been people who've been like coming out saying that he's a jerk and he should have spoken up earlier and this and that. But it's like, you can't judge a survivor, I don't think, especially someone who was, you know, messed with when they were a kid. It's like not anyone's place to tell him how he should have handled that stuff.
So that conversation just took a turn.
Yeah, it did. Back to Carrie.
Oh, okay.
Back to less sad stuff. We're all really sad about Carrie being gone.
Right. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Rob's tweet now.
Oh, is it happier?
And I would say so, yeah. He says, guys, do you think there is more hype for The Last Jedi than there was for The Force Awakens? Because we know how massive a role Luke will have. I think it's so important to its success already. 10 days to go over here. Also, final predictions for who Rey and Snoke are. All right. I'm not going first.
I went first last time.
Okay, I'm going first. I would say that I this is why I didn't want to go first. On the one hand, you're right. Like Luke being a part of the marketing is huge for this one, and building on the success of The Force Awakens is going to be huge for this one. At the same time, it's a different type of hype. Because the hype in the last Force Awakens was this is the first time you're seeing these characters in this type of Star Wars for 30 years, and that's the message that they were pushing. And this time it's just building on making bigger, better, grander from what went last time. So it's a different type of hype. I don't know how I would really judge if it's more or less because it's just a different energy associated with it. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense, actually.
So that's the first part. The second part being final predictions for who Rey and Snoke are. I think I would be least surprised at this point if Rey is just somebody whose parents we don't really know and don't need to know. And Snoke, I feel like, will have a background story, but it's an original story. It might be connected with other people, but it's not like he was the Emperor's right-hand man or anything like that. That's what I'm thinking, but I'm going to go to... Okay, so the questions were the hype question and then Rey and Snoke. Somebody else go.
All right. I think that no, it is not going to be... It's not more hyped. I agree with what you said about being a different energy, but I think just the fact that we didn't think there was ever going to be Star Wars movies again for a while And then we found out there were, and there's all this new, it's all new, you know, it was the first one in Disney. It's it, like getting Luke back is huge, and it's huge for you and me and all the big fans and people who love Luke especially.
Yeah.
But at the same time, even to me, who like Luke was my favorite as a kid and the Force is my favorite part of everything, and I love the characters still, it just doesn't feel the same, you know, like and I know less. It's weird because I know less now going in, you know. I knew everything about what was going to happen in The Force Awakens at this point 2 years ago, but I have no idea a lot of the details in The Last Jedi. I don't know tons of specifics, and I'm excited by not knowing, but it's not the same. And I feel like if the hype was greater or the same level for me personally, which is the only way I guess I can answer it, I would be seeking that stuff out. I wouldn't be able to wait. Like I'm having to create my own hype.
Yeah.
Cause I'm a guy who seeks out spoilers in general. Like I seek out spoilers on stupid stuff. I like to know what's going to happen ahead of time. Maybe it's my OCD, maybe it's whatever, but I like to like, oh no, this is going to happen. All right, cool.
You spoil the weather, don't you?
Oh yeah. No, I look it up.
Like, it's going to be in 2 days.
I really want to know. Even if I'm not going to need to know for any reason. No, and yeah, I like being spoiled. So I think for me, objectively, like just trying to look at my own response, I think that it's probably less so. But I guess I can't judge it for anyone else. You know, if somebody else is more hyped. That's I'm happy for him. And gosh, Snoke is Snoke. I think we'll probably, like you said, learn his backstory. But I don't think he's anyone we've met before. And yeah. Rey is probably Rey Rando, as people who don't want her to be. I tend to agree with you on that. I wouldn't I feel like all the major options wouldn't really be shocking.
Right.
Like, Kenobi would be Kenobi and Palpatine are the fan favorites that are the least plausible to me.
Yeah.
Because they're the most awkward. Because no matter how you do a Skywalker, whether it's Luke's daughter, you know, which is not likely but possible, or whether it's a relative of Shmi, like no matter how awkward it is to say, it was another Skywalker. You know, it's like that's not as rough as, oh, remember how the Jedi just take kids? Well, who knows where Kenobi was from? He had family too, guys. Let's think about it. Like it's like we were talking about before with trying to explain a Battlefront-esque origin. You know, I just. How that's going to be clunky no matter what. So I think that just not it. I think the reveal that is going to make the impact is going to be finding out that it doesn't matter, that she's the master of her own destiny. She didn't come from something magical. She did right. Like, and honestly, I'm a little annoyed with people in general who really, really, really want this to happen. Not because they want it to happen, you know, her to be a Skywalker and or a Kenobi, but I've seen people saying like, you've missed the point in Star Wars if you don't understand that they all came from a heroic legacy and all that. But it's like, but what are you talking about? Like Shmi came literally from a slave. It's like the idea to me is that it starts with someone coming from nothing. And that's an ongoing thing in the heroic journey. And in, you know, this Campbell kind of monomyth idea, like it should be able to happen to anyone. Spider-Man didn't get picked because he had a birthright because he came from the family of the magical clan of the spider protectors. You know, he became Spider-Man because he happened to be there in the right time, and it could have happened to anybody. And that's, I think, not every heroic story, but it's an important kind of one. And I think that's what Shmi gave them back sort of in the prequels by them changing the story and making Vader his dad. Because before that, yeah, his dad was a knight, but his dad was just a farmer, you know? Like, you were to believe that he was related to the Lars somehow, you know?
Right.
Like, maybe, I think in the novelization, he was supposed to be Obi-Wan's brother, I think, but who knows what they intended in the original story, because we know for a fact it wasn't that he was Vader's kid, because Anakin was killed by Vader, and the three of them were all Jedi Knights together, Anakin and Vader and Kenobi. But now I want to read that old the Dark Horse adaptation of the original version.
Yeah,
Anakin Starkiller stuff.
So Tim, I'm not sure how adverse people are to spoilers, any of us, but you did happen to read a thread that shall not be named today. that
yeah
said who Ray's parents are. Is anyone interested in hearing?
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing what that was. I all I heard was that someone we know posted it, immediately deleted it, and then got mad that people were sharing a screenshot. But it's like, why'd she post it? You know.
Well, That person didn't post names. The person just posted like. It's hard to describe.
Everybody, yeah.
Turn off the episode. Go home. Being spoiled. We don't even know if this is true or not.
Right.
Because you don't believe it, right, Tim? Is that correct?
I. It's interesting. Like parts of it.
And I have no idea who it is, so I'll be learning it for the first time. What this thread said.
It's either well researched, made up, or partly legitimate. It's hard to tell. But you said you didn't see, you didn't read it.
I didn't read it. I'm waiting for you to.
Tell me. Okay.
Everyone, turn back.
So it basically, yeah.
This could be true, or it could be
false.
Crap.
It's a yellow light on the rumor list.
Right.
Green is for still, sure. Red is not happening. Spoiler.
Yes.
Yellow.
Yeah.
Make note of this time, Jim, in the podcast.
I think they've had plenty of time at this point to stop listening.
Right now we could have Captain Phasma like spoilers. Spoilers.
That takes too much time to make a new thing.
All right,
okay, sorry. Okay. Instead, give it the timestamp when it starts and ends.
So yeah, we have Then we used to have a spoiler section.
There you go. That was it.
Okay, but seriously, I really just want y'all to just tell me.
Okay. Here we go.
So, yeah, no, what it said is that Rey's parents are essentially First Order members, like at the early stages of the First Order, and they figured out that Rey as a kid had Force powers, and Snoke was trying to like collect the Force people, and they didn't want her to be in his control, so they dropped her off at Jakku and would like stay here and stay low profile, left her with Plutt, and then went back. Is basically what it says. Honestly, I'm not sure if I believe that because that's too much of a disappointment. If it's gonna be that they were First Order people, it needs to be First Order that somebody would be able to recognize in some way. Or, like, the Battlefront thing we discussed, even if that's not plausible or if it is, whatever, at least there's some connection there somewhere. But to have it be that, I mean, and I
think it's worth mentioning that they're not going to do that. Like, they're not going to.
They might.
I really don't think they want us to believe that Daisy Ridley is a character who is clearly, like the mom is East Indian, not just the voice actress, but
there's a picture that it's half Daisy's face, half Janina's face, and it actually goes pretty well together.
I'm just saying, if they do that, like that would be so wrongheaded. Like they would get such bad flack. Like because she's not a person. She's not a biracial person. You know, like Daisy Ridley isn't, and Gina Givankar is. Like, you know, so. I don't know, man. I feel like it's really, really highly unlikely for a couple reasons. Like if it was just that it was a Battlefront character from the books and whatnot and the video games, I would think it was unlikely. But the fact that it's somebody introduced that way and someone is a person of color, I think kind of make it, for me, something I'm not taking very seriously. But you guys are right. I mean, who knows? Like they could do whatever they want, but I just don't really see it happening. I don't know. I just don't see them introducing any character in the comics, books, or video games first. You know? I don't know.
So do you think it could be First Order parents or what?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that sounds super, super underwhelming. Like, I think...
Right. That's the only thing.
Kristen, your reaction was, meh. Like, that feels right on.
Yeah. It's just, meh. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. But if it's told really well, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I can imagine a really uninspired person describing Fight Club and me going, that sounds dumb, but I really loved it when I saw it. Like, I don't know.
I feel like somebody took Kristen's safety balloon and just went let the air out of it. Because now I'm just like, well, if that's what it is, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to save people, though. I know nobody knows what the hell I'm talking about. But
I know what you're talking about. So
I know you do. That's what's important.
So, Jared, I could talk about Star Wars with you. I do feel like you were saying, it would be underwhelming. And I know I said earlier on that I think her parents aren't really anybody significant, or rather, I would be least surprised if they're nobody that significant. But at the same time, you can still make a story out of somebody not that significant beyond, oh, yeah, they were in the First Order and they didn't want you to be with the main bad guy, so they dropped you off. Like that almost seems a little lazy to me in the writing.
Yeah, I mean,
because wait, aren't the kids in the First Order, aren't the soldiers and all that bred? Like, they're taken away from their kids at an early age?
I think the Stormtrooper program that Hux's dad created or something, I think that is like that, but I don't know about any other.
So then her parents would be pretty high up in the Order to be able to deposit her at a medium age.
See, none of this makes any sense, though. Like, none of this adds up, because Bloodlines took place 5 years before, right? And the First Order, that was supposed to also be, like, the origins of the First Order. So 5 years before is before, like, they come out publicly as a thing. So how, like, what operation could they have had that took Finn when he was a baby if Finn's 19? You know what I mean? Like,
well, my understanding was that they were always around and just, like, building and doing their thing, but nobody cared until a few years before.
Right, but it's just like they did sort of make it seem like when whoever, I can't remember who it was that defects in, who you thought was like her ally and defected to their side, not the, not Castor Foe, who she mistakenly thought was evil, but the lady, you remember talking about in Bloodline? Like they made it seem like she was like a founder of it, and maybe it was just that she was secretly involved, you know, she was involved in it and just made her involvement public at that point. But it's just interesting because it feels like some of this stuff was changed, you know, as they went.
Yeah.
Like everyone got the vibe that the Kylo leaving the Jedi Order and the Jedi Order ending stuff happened, I think, longer. Like they were longer ago, like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, not 5. And I think we got that vibe because that's the vibe they gave us, not because. And we know things changed. We know. A lot of things changed, not just right before production, but during production. So, I don't know. Poe wouldn't be around. Hands would have been floating in space. Things could have been real. Things could have been real different.
Yeah, there have been entire characters in there that aren't in there now. Might have seen Zuvio. Yeah.
No, I really think that. It's interesting because who Rey is, they've known since that. I think they probably ended, you know, production of Force Awakens, but I don't think it's probably who it was when production started on Force Awakens. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and JJ said he knew who her parents are, right?
Yeah, and he's not. He likes to keep the mystery crap, but he doesn't. There are creators out there who will outright lie and then be proud of it. Ed Brubaker and Joe Quesada were the guys behind the death of Captain America in the comic books. Get ready, everybody. They're going to kill Chris Evans in the movies. I hate to bum you out. They're going to do the same thing, and they're going to have either Cap's replacement be Falcon or Winter Soldier. They've done both those in the comics, but they're going to totally do that probably at the end of the next, not the next Avengers movie, but the second part of that, whatever they call the second part of Infinity War. They said they're not calling it Infinity War 2, but...
I thought it was part two.
No, they've announced that that's not going to be what it's really called.
Good.
But they're filming them one right after another. They haven't said what it will be called. But
I'm glad it's not part two.
It's called, yeah. We make you cry because we killed bearded Captain America.
Yeah.
Also, so many of the women who were like, you should cut your beard, Jared. I just don't like beards. I've now seen be like, oh, I love bearded Captain America. And it's like, Judas's, all of you. But
that's like my new favorite social media insult now.
Calling people Judas.
Yeah, all of you.
All right, I'm proud of that. But yeah, no, I feel like they did the same thing where they said that Captain America was going to die, and then, oh, they meant it. He was really dead. They weren't bringing him back. And then after like a year and a half of stretching it out, they're like, oh, guess what? We were originally just going to have him be dead for like 4 issues, but we ended up deciding to make it a big thing across everything. And he was actually sent back in time, and it's inspired by Slaughterhouse-Five, which is one of my favorite books by Kurt Vonnegut. They're like, Captain America became unstuck in time. He didn't really die, and we're going to bring him back. We are always going to bring him back. And we're so clever, and you guys fell for it. We tricked you. And it's like, a clever trick isn't a lie. Like, Joe Quesada went on the Colbert Report and gave him a Captain America shield replica and was like, this is Captain America's shield because he's really dead and we're never bringing him back. This isn't like when they killed when they killed Superman at DC Comics, you know, back in the 90s. We don't do that cheap stuff anymore. It's like, he literally lied. At what point is that false advertising? I don't think there's any instance of JJ doing that in our history with him in Star Wars or in anything. I don't think he ever was like, no, this is going to happen in Alias. Oh, no, there is the
did.
One thing.
For the, Into Darkness.
But that's true. But he also apologized for it. And I feel like it was a little different. Like, he did seem to learn his lesson. It definitely wasn't the same thing. Like, it was something where he lied. It was a lie. But
they kind of all said that they knew what they were doing with Lost.
I count him in that. But
lie.
I don't think that counts as a lie because I think they also had their hands forced by ABC to make changes, stretch things out, and I don't think that I think that they definitely changed stuff. But I think that part of that was not their doing.
I'm gonna call it right now. Disney streaming lost the sequel.
You think?
Oh man.
Of course.
ABC really wants another Lost. Like, they haven't had anything like it since. Like,
yeah, but either way, it's still Disney. But
No. That's why I'm thinking that it makes sense. That's why I think it makes sense, because it would be something that they could brand, you know? Like,
yeah, pay money to watch Lost.
I really liked Lost. I'm even okay with the ending, although it's definitely lost steam, but
I mean, they could do some good stuff. They could do Alias, the sequel.
I loved Alias. Oh, man. So good. I gotta finish that.
And heck, if they buy 20th Century Fox, they could do more Buffy without Joss Whedon, please. Over there.
Yeah. it's actually interesting. It's owned by 20th Century Fox, but there are rights issues with the people who executive produced the first Buffy movie, Fran and Rubel Kuzu. They get credits on everything forever, and they're involved in everything forever. Like they got credits for creating Angel, even though they had nothing to do with the character ever. When his show came on, because of the writing they got Buffy written down in. Those two are geniuses. Like, I don't think they ever have to work a day in their life. Like, they can just live off of Buffy royalties, which is pretty impressive.
So I'm gonna just start reading the next tweet.
Go for it.
It's from the first Noel, also known as Noah. Mark, actually, you might want to tune out now, Mark.
Can we omit the parts that are intentionally Mark trolling?
Yeah.
He only has one question.
Hey. Okay, good. Because most of it's, hey, Tim, you like Battlefront? How's Battlefront? Tim, what's going on with Battlefront? I miss you, Tim. Well, I miss him, Battlefront.
Did I say one question? I meant one tweet. It says, Dear Podcast 2187,
how's Battlefront, Tim?
Actually, I'm going to slightly modify this tweet. How's Mark doing? How is Mark specifically enjoying Battlefront? What part of the lead up to a new Star Wars movie is everyone's favorite part? Particularly interested in Mark's answer.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Oh, well.
So,
Battlefront's awesome. And what was the other question?
What is your favorite part of the lead up to The Last Jedi or a new Star Wars movie?
I want my visual dictionary now.
It's coming soon, right?
I know. I think either the following Tuesday or the Tuesday before or Friday. I don't know, but I want to know. I love looking at I like seeing all the different characters, background characters with stories, and you know the production photos kind of them, where there's just to be. It's almost like they posed for you in universe. Like someone walked by and said, "Hey, crazy looking guy with no face, can you take a picture?" They're like, "Yeah, of course."
No, I love those too. That is what got me obsessed with drawing as a kid. Like I always drew in school, like everybody else, and then there were the official handbooks of the Marvel Universe.
Oh yeah,
when I got into comics, I became obsessed with those. I remember I ruined the Spider-Man entry because they had tear out sheets and you could put them in 3-ring binders because it was like for role playing games. And my brother bought it so that he and his friends who did Dungeons and Dragons could do Marvel role playing game stuff. And I was like, I gotta trace the Spider-Man. I gotta get my tracing paper.
It wasn't for Jared. It wasn't for role playing games.
No, you're right. They actually had both. They had the official handbook written by you're absolutely right, by Mark Grunewald. But they also had the ones for, I believe it was by TSR. It wasn't by the same people who did Dungeons and Dragons, but there was a role playing game thing that was based on that, and they had the same artwork and they adapted the same like biographies and whatnot from them. But they also had role playing game like stats on them. So it's a combination of the same.
Tear out page one was designed so that they didn't have to keep doing updates. They just print out an update and you take out the old.
No, yeah, those were the newer ones. Yeah, yeah, and they did the same thing with DC and they made them larger. Because DCs were called Secret Files and Origins instead of and Who's Who. They had two different lines at different points in their history. But yeah, man, I collected all those, and the DC ones had cool pictures with like backgrounds that were what do you call it? Like montages of their history, and sometimes most of the time they were original pictures. But the Marvel ones would always have like these plain white rectangles and with the biography and all this information around them, with a picture of the character the same way as in those as those production shots from the visual dictionaries. And I guess I've always loved them. Like they're a really great way to look at a character and get a good idea of what they look like when you're drawing them for art reference. And it's the same thing whether it's a Star Wars character or a comic book character, and they do them for the same purposes, for continuity. And I that's the reason why they do that stuff in general. In fact, the oversized ones for Marvel with the pullout sheets were literally done in model sheet style. They were all drawn by the same guy. Was it by Sal Buscema, maybe? Him or Ron Frenz. And they were all done like with a shot of the character standing directly at you, like staring directly at you face forward, and in a profile shot, a three-quarter shot, and a back shot. And they had them like in the same positions with one hand facing forward and one hand turned around. Like it was all very much so you could just see a perfect view of the character. And I don't know. I always liked that plus the informational aspect of it. Like you can really get into a character by reading those fact files or visual dictionaries. And it's cool to be able to look at that stuff before the film because they go out of their way to avoid spoiling stuff, but they also give you a lot of information.
Yes.
So, Mark, you said the visual dictionary, right, is your favorite lead-up? Favorite part of the lead-up?
Now, Tim, that you start, quantifying what I said, I realize I made a grave error, but go ahead.
No, what else? What's more so?
Come on. Tim's about to just, like...
Is it what I'm going to say?
Yeah, that's what you're going to say. You're making me look stupid now, but go ahead.
I know. Can I guess?
I was a little surprised you didn't say it.
No, don't. What is it?
Is it the soundtrack?
Man, Tim just pulled my soundtrack card.
Did you happen to listen to last where Mark and I spent about 7 minutes trying to remember what an overture was? We're not great at remembering.
Chip's over there and listening to Jared talk about fact files and me go, yeah, visual dictionary, and it's like, either you guys talk about soundtrack, you guys suck. Well, okay. Yeah, obviously Tim.
You're a fake soundtrack fan.
I am. He's gatekeeping me right now. I can feel it.
Tim's favorite pastime.
Yeah, right. So, in a very shocking plot twist, I was going to say my favorite part of the lead up is the soundtrack stuff, actually. And I know many of you were expecting Mark to say that, but he didn't, and I did. So I just want to establish that because we haven't yet. I'm a better soundtrack person than Mark is.
Yes, but Tim, your favorite person of all time, well, not of all time, but your second favorite, your man crush.
Third.
Brian Tyler, your Brian Tyler likes my tweet today.
And it didn't that's even, awesome. It didn't even,
I didn't even that's, tag him, Tim.
You did, I saw that you didn't tag. Mention him in it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive, my friend. That's a good one.
Because he follows me. He likes to see what's going on in the world of Mark.
That's impressive, my friend.
It is. He likes my tweet about John Williams Christmas music.
Nice.
Yeah, Tim, don't even listen to John Williams Christmas music.
Really?
Do you have two albums of John Williams Christmas music that's not Home Alone?
Okay, I don't have two, but I have some.
Yeah, Spotify and iMusic or whatever the hell it is, and count them. You have to actually have these on vinyl.
Oh, they have to be on vinyl. Well, sure, no, I don't have John Williams Christmas music on vinyl. I don't meet that category.
I have a really good vinyl collection, but I also lost a lot of it to roommates and one brother, and it really it makes me just like depressed to think about it.
I have one vinyl record, actually. It's the story of Cinderella. It's behind my door.
Okay.
Oh, why is mine?
Behind the door. So, who did not answer the favorite part of the build-up to a Star Wars movie question?
Kristen.
Me.
No, the other Kristen.
I'm not exactly sure. I like a lot of it. I think the biggest thing for me is, since I wasn't around for the original Star Wars releases, my first experience with new Star Wars movies and big hype were the prequels. And they were, at the time, kind of a letdown. And they weren't what I was expecting. And I was only so-so on them. So now to have the big Star Wars hype and new Star Wars movies and to have them be good and really intriguing, just the entire experience, I think I'm still just trying to soak it all in.
For the record, I do like the prequels.
Yeah, I like the prequels, but at the time, they weren't what I was expecting. And, you know, I'm just this little kid, and I go to the theaters, and I see Jar Jar Binks, and I'm like, eh. So I'm okay with it now, but at the time, the hype wasn't the same.
As a teenager at the time, who loved the originals and who didn't remember because he was an infant when he saw, Return of the Jedi, but who's always been around it, like, I don't know. I didn't like that part. I didn't like parts of it, but the good outweighed the bad for me at the time. And, like, everyone my age that I hung out with, even guys who weren't super into Star Wars before, just liked it when they were little kids and kind of grew out of it. We all loved it. Like, I think it was a lot of it was just Duel of Fates, I think. entire summer from like the end of May until school started in the fall, I think I heard every single like guy in my age range singing it at some point that summer that I came across, because I don't know, man. Darth Maul, there's something about him that did the trick. Like, I don't know if he was well-researched market, you know, stuff. There's a lot of focus groups. They're like, no. The kids who grew up with Star Wars will love this guy. Like, look at his face.
Well, I mean,
they cut him in half. They really messed up.
But that still didn't even do anything. I was just saying the other day, what was it? Obi-Wan can't actually defeat any Sith people, apparently. He cuts Darth Maul in half, he lives. He cuts off legs and burns and fries Vader, and he makes it. That's not a good record.
He doesn't kill any, but he fells Vader and like decreases his power significantly. And then I think the end of A New Hope, the end of Star Wars, counts as a win, because, man... he really gets in his head. Like when he steps on that robe, when he's like, what the hell just happened? Like, he's so confused. And to this day, like, either he knew he was going to disappear. Like, you totally get that vibe with the prequels and with the Clone Wars and the way they set up the story. They want you to believe that he and Yoda knew they were going to become one with the Force and that he willingly did that junk at that point. but just his line. His line of bull to Vader, where he's like, I will be more powerful than you can possibly imagine. He's like, and by that, I mean, I will be an infrared ghost who can give your son advice. You didn't even know you had a son. That's not actually more powerful. Like, I'm pretty sure that guy can imagine something more powerful than essentially Casper the Friendly Ghost.
I mean, just because he didn't do more doesn't mean he can't do more. I'm trying to be devil's advocate for Obi-Wan here.
Are Force Ghosts awesome?
Force Ghosts are fantastic.
Can they do awesome stuff that we don't know about?
Well, yeah, if we don't know about it, can I say yes?
No, because look, he interacts with everything. He interacts with the environment. Like, he gets tired, he sits down on the tree. Sure. So I imagine there's like a place where, you know, Force Ghost Kenobi's just like lounging out in a chair somewhere. Like, maybe he goes on vacation.
Or even like a hammock.
Because he didn't have to stay where Luke's at. Obviously, he goes someplace else.
Now I just want to see them doing like cool ghost stuff that you see in other stuff, like either possessing people or like poltergeist stuff, moving stuff around.
Yeah, what do they do when Luke doesn't need them? They gotta be doing something.
He's playing cards.
And you know Kenobi and Yoda are like annoyed at the hell at each other, and they keep putting Anakin in a corner or whatever.
Well, and according to the end of Clone Wars, Qui-Gon is around, but he can't take a visible form. He's just a poltergeist,
right?
Right. So they could be having a quiet conversation. Voiceless Qui-Gon is there too. They're just like, oh god, voiceless Qui-Gon's here.
Even better, if they're playing a card game, they don't know he's there, and then all of a sudden Liam Neeson's just like, play the ace.
Yeah, he's constantly there, and they're just like, god, you snuck up on me again. Like, man.
Yeah.
You're scared of ghosts. Like, do you know how hard that is?
Okay, so I really want like a spin-off movie of just like Force Ghost happenings.
Yeah. Yes, this is a good idea. It could be like a ghost hunters, like a reality show where they're hunting Force Ghosts.
Or it could be on their side, their perspective, and it's like, Force Ghost Inn. And, who would run that place? Who would
Force
be the
Ghost Inn?
Yeah, who would be the manager of Ghost Force Inn?
Yeah, like a hotel or Force Ghost Inn by them? It would be a living person who manages the hotel where they all live. Is that right?
That works. Yeah.
Maybe if it's in the present day, quote unquote, like the new movies, maybe Maz Kanata. I don't know.
That'd be pretty good. Yeah.
She's good.
Some friendly porg. C-3PO is good. C-3PO is good because you think there'd be no way that he could actually see them. And you could have this weird relationship between him and Anakin because he's his son.
This would be like awkward.
And they have the little Ewok bellhops.
I like this. This is really coming together.
But they have no elevator, so you have to watch the Ewoks go up the stairs with luggage.
Well, they have that deal where they
just
can.
At least Christian likes it.
I like them with the pulley system. Now they have like a.
No, it's not. It's not at the Ewok Village.
This is Force Ghost Inn. Come on.
Okay.
No, it should be Force Ghost Manor even.
It's even
better. Yes,
Manor. Oh, yes.
Oh, and it's instead of C-3PO, it could be a protocol droid, and his voice sounds like Vincent Price.
Yes. Okay. Now we need to know who's in charge of, maintaining. I mean, it is Force Ghost, but still, who's maintaining the area?
Who the janitor is?
Like the custodian?
Any of the above.
What are you driving at, Tim?
I'm the host. I'm trying to ask opinions from you, or get opinions from you.
Yeah, I don't know. What?
I need to know what the stupid dream thing is.
Oh, yeah. Let me pull that up.
Well, while you pull that up, I was just gonna say I imagine something along the lines of Grumpy Old Men or Statler and Waldorf, and I really like this idea. Like, this is good.
Hey, here's the thing. For the most part, I don't like this trend. I mean, they did Grumpy Old Men and Grumpy Old Men 2, and that's fine. But there is this new trend of
I just saw a trailer. I know exactly what you're talking about. Go on.
I do not like these aging stars throwing them all together, and they just play senior citizens and like the Last Vegas, or, you know, I don't know, whether it's Made Men or something where they're like doing a heist. And I know the new one you're talking about, Jared, it's Tommy Lee Jones and Morgan Freeman.
Right. And if it was just them and it was just them being funny, I'd be into it. But it's making fun of them being old. And right. Like,
and then you're going to throw Rene Russo in his old folks home. It's like, no way. She was in Lethal Weapon. She's not old.
It's like a, I actually talked to Colin about this a lot a couple months ago, because we'd watched Grumpy Old Men. I think it was on HBO, and maybe we both watched the second one as well. I love those two. They were great movies, but they weren't. It wasn't about them being old. They happened to be old, and the jokes about them being old were few and far between. Like, it was just where their characters were. It was
when it was them too. They were the odd couple.
Right.
Right.
No, and they had this great dynamic, and you, I love the idea of getting two really funny old dudes together, but just make it a legitimate, genuine, heartfelt, well written story, not one where the punchline is, do you get it? They're old. Like, right. The other one was it Made Men, where it's like Michael Caine and I think Morgan Freeman again. They all have Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, but it was the same thing where they were like four bank robbers who were like retired. No, they weren't bank robbers. They were factory workers and they were retired, forced in retirement, and they weren't getting their pension. And so they had to rob a bank to survive. And like no one will assume it's them because everyone's ageist. But then that can't be a central plot element where it's like no one will suspect we're bank robbers because we're old and it's wrong to misjudge old people, and then make the movie be about making fun of old people. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Wasn't it Morgan Freeman and like Michael, the guy from Fish Called Wanda,
Kevin Clark.
Kevin Kline, thank you. It's Kevin Kline and Michael Douglas, I think, and Morgan Freeman. They go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, that sounds right. Man, I love all those guys again, but I don't want to see a movie where the joke is they're old. I don't. Oh.
Anyways, all right, Josiah, let's wrap this up.
Dream log number 3.
Well, let me turn my lights down. All right, go.
All right. This is from Josiah Ward. He says, something amazing happened last night. Uh-huh. I know you guys told me to make up a dream log, but this is actually 100% true. Here's the context before I get into the dream. Yesterday, there was something in my eye. I couldn't figure out what it was, but it was annoying. I couldn't see anything when I looked into the mirror, so I got some eye drops, put a couple drops in my eye, and eventually went to bed. Okay, so here's the dream. In my dream, I was standing at a mirror trying to figure out what was in my eye. I eventually found a hair in the corner of my eye and started pulling. This hair was Mark's arm hair. And then I pulled Mark's entire body out of my eye, starting with his arm. I started to speak to him once he was out of my eye, but he got annoyed with me. He was wearing headphones and told me to wait until he finished listening to that podcast called Serial. So I sat on the toilet seat and waited for him. Then we shook hands. That's all I remember. Hope that clears things up. Josiah.
No.
It was better because it didn't get weird with like stuff about your son. But that being said...
No, it's strange. It's strange though that he feels comfortable just sitting on a toilet, you know, waiting for me to finish listening to a podcast. You should never feel comfortable just sitting on a toilet.
No. Well, okay.
Unless you're doing something.
See, actually, I have really weird. I was gonna say, okay. I have really weird bathroom issues. No, 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 I just want to say I grew up with two brothers. We shared a bathroom. And a lot of times it was close spaces. And people were in there just hanging out a lot. And I had to learn that, like, humans have bathroom privacy. And I know that now. It's like that. I was going to say that that does seem a little weird that he would do that, because it implies a kind of intimacy that I would think would only exist within like siblings or spouses. You know, it's like that he would just be like, hey, we're in the bathroom. I'm going to sit down while you're, you know, we're just going to hang out.
I am curious to see where the dream goes next. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, like you said, like,
we're that intimate.
That's all I remember. Like, it implies you guys had some bathroom shenanigans. This is to be continued.
Go on.
How big was Mark if he pulled him out of his eye? Was this like teeny tiny Mark?
I'm working under the assumption that it was like an inflatable thing.
I was thinking almost like a Salvador Dali deal where he's like, yeah, just like a skin sack version of Mark. He pulls out, but then it inflates. Yeah, pretty much the same, I think, Tim.
Like, imagine it's a Tom and Mark. Jerry scenario. However it would work out in that is how I'm imagining it.
Yeah, very cartoonish.
Okay, glad to clarify. Thank you.
But that's just my imagination. I have no idea what Josiah intended.
I did have a similar visual picture. But yeah, like you said, he left that open to interpretation.
I like the fact that he's dreaming about me nonstop.
Yeah, you've entered his subconscious.
It's a regularly occurring thing, and I'm looking forward to Dream Log 4, whether it is true or, you know, purposely written, masterfully written by Josiah. I'm still looking forward to it.
Do we have any other questions from anybody?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good. And come to check it, though, I'm surprised. We've got a pretty long one tonight. But what I wanted to say before we go, though, is next week is also going to be something a little different. I haven't finalized it yet, but I'm trying to get another person who's been on the show before but not recently to be on it. We'll see. But I want to get something cool for the last episode before The Last Jedi is in theaters, because then, of course, nice. We'll see the movie. We'll be able to talk about that. And then we're going to have some couple episodes or weeks off because of end of the year and holidays and all that good stuff. But next week, hopefully something cool will be happening. If there are any questions anybody has, next week will be the time to get them in, because then the movie comes out and some questions might not be as fun. So send those in. And otherwise, I think we're good. Anybody else have anything they wanted to address before we end?
Yes, thank you for coming on the episode, Kristen. It has been a pleasure, and it's wonderful to meet you. We appreciate Timmy allowing you on.
I couldn't have said it any better. You hit every point I wanted to make.
Oh, guys, I'm going to be in so much trouble for this now.
Oh.
I wish I was a fly on the wall.
Hey, I'm too nice for that.
We'll hold you to that, Tim.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
But thank you. It was fun. Thank you for letting me be on. I realized about halfway through, I kept going back into like fangirl mode. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the podcast. And then I realized, oh wait, I'm on it. I should contribute. So I kept forgetting that I could actually say stuff instead of just listening to you guys. But it was fun. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
It was great having me on.
Hey, so editing Tim here. And what happened is we had a slight technical thing go on at the very end of this episode here, and basically we just lost the last like minute. It's really not much. We just said bye. Basically that's what happened. But I just wanted to let you know, because in editing, when we ended it here and they just go straight to the music, it was kind of awkward and I think it would have felt a little bit off. So just wanted to let you know quickly that that's why it might have sounded weird, because there was a technical thing. All you missed is that we said bye, and I will now start the music.